is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
China. The news about China focuses on the Olympics to be held in Beijing in coming weeks. An announcement by the U.S. government. Headline out of London. U.S. announces diplomatic boycott of Beijing Winter Olympics. The quote, Joe Biden will not send a U.S. government delegation to the Beijing Winter Olympics, initiating a diplomatic boycott in protest against China's persecution of Muslim Uyghurs in Xinjiang. Jen Psaki, White House press secretary, said the administration would boycott the games, which start in February, because of, quote, ongoing genocide and crimes against humanity in Xinjiang. But, said Ms. Psaki, the U.S. Olympic team had the, quote, full support of the president and his administration. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, longtime senior advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, during the Trump administration, traveling widely, certainly dealing with the Uyghur tragedy. The word genocide was used, to my memory, for the first time during the Trump administration. Most recently, Mary presented to the public on Fox television her opinion of how diplomacy works. The question from a presenter, Tammy Bruce, was about Russia, but this applies equally to China. As I learned from Mary, diplomacy works when there is leverage, when there is something else that the two parties are negotiating besides the present confrontation. Mary, a very good evening to you. You have lengthy experience in China. You were many years there for the Wall Street Journal in Hong Kong. You've traveled China with the former Secretary of State. At this point, your opinion, does a diplomatic boycott answer the scale of persecution we know that the Uyghurs suffer? Does it speak to the other pending matters, such as the tennis stars, such as the oppression of the people in Hong Kong, such as other depredations? Is this adequate? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening, John. A diplomatic boycott of the Beijing Olympics doesn't accomplish everything that we need to accomplish vis-a-vis communist China, but I commend the Biden team. I think it's an entirely appropriate step, and it's a good start. It would be, I think, an abomination if U.S. politicians or diplomats or bureaucrats attended a games to commemorate a regime and reward a regime that is committing not just genocide, but also crimes against humanity, against the Uyghurs and other ethnic minorities in Xinjiang, not to mention the vast oppression suffered by Tibetans, religious minorities, and pretty much everyone else who lives in China. It's a totalitarian regime. And I think the Biden team realized when they came in that they couldn't change the venue of the games. They could have tried, and probably we in the Trump team would have tried, but they didn't want to punish the athletes. And the original sin here is, of course, the International Olympic Committee that awarded Beijing the games in the first place. So I think, you know, they did a good job and right thing by doing this boycott, and I hope that other friends and partners around the world do the same.
Let's attach to the Olympics, because there's news, some news, about the abuse of the tennis star Peng these last weeks. Some news consists of the World Tennis Association for Women taking all of its business out of China. That is significant in terms of dollars, but also significant in terms of how to regard the abuse that the Chinese Communist Party visits upon its own people. The question here is it effective, Mary? Is that an example of what the Chinese Communist Party will attend to when they lose money, when they lose face by a WTA walking away?
Well, I think we in the West are in free nations underestimate the massive amount of leverage that we can exert over communist China. You know, China imports a lot of its energy supplies. It doesn't innovate to the same degree as we do, so it relies on the education that our universities provide and things like STEM. There are certain products and services that they rely on us on. So, you know, we have an enormous amount of leverage over Beijing, and that's something that, that President Trump tried to use to insist on fair treatment. Just to give you one example, for our companies, that was the whole point of the phase one trade deal. In regards to the WTA, I think the CEO, Steve Simon, is accomplishing several things here which are important. First of all, he's recognizing the really grave risk of doing business in China, most importantly to his people, given the treatment of Ms. Peng, the tennis star, and to his brand, which also obviously is not as important as human life, but is important to his bottom line. Secondly, he's doing something even more fundamental. He's rejecting communist lies and propaganda, and that's enormously important. China's response to Ms. Peng's disappearance in these very odd looks like forced videos that have been posted with her. What China is doing is not just kind of projecting its own story out to the world, its own set of particularly heinous lies. It's also a very arrogant attempt to bully the WTA and people concerned about Ms. Peng to say, don't believe the truth. You must believe what we're telling you. And that's pernicious. You cannot allow a totalitarian regime to tell you what is true and what is not when the truth is so obvious. So in doing that, I think that's extremely important. It's very threatening, too, to the party, because there are two things that they fear, the truth and their own people. And then thirdly, I think Mr. Smith is setting an example for his corporate peers. For many, many years, many CEOs in the United States, Europe, and beyond have averted their eyes from the nature of that regime. They've tolerated not just, intellectual property theft. I know that's often cited, but the harassment and abuse of their own employees. This isn't just happening to the WTA. I remember cases that I was tracking when I was based in Hong Kong 15 years ago. So this is a phenomenon that's been going on for a very, very long time. And so, kudos to him for standing up to this really monstrous regime and doing the right thing.
What is your measure, Mary, about professional sports? Is this a path to follow? We've seen odd remarks by superstars in the NBA and others about how they can separate sports from politics, and this shouldn't all come together. However, the WTA is making a statement that it also costs it money, costs it opportunities in China. Is this something that other organizations should be presented with and saying, what's your story? I'm particularly worried about the fact that China can use superstars to cover up what's going on or what has happened to Ms. Peng.
Well, China has cultivated financial relationships with all manner of prominent Americans, sports stars, the relatives of important political figures, CEOs, prominent investors. And these relationships have been developed over a period of years, if not decades. And, to my mind, the most important thing that we can do is to keep releasing as much information as possible about the nature of this regime, what it is doing to its people, and what its impact is going to be, not just on the near abroad of China, but on us. Because what they've done is they've essentially established lobbyists to mouth their own propaganda and lies. So when you see sports figures like NBA stars say, gosh, don't quote-unquote politicize sports, that's taken straight from the mouth of the party's propaganda organs. This isn't about politicization of sports. This is about forced disappearances and torture and the removal of basic rights and infringements on the dignity of individuals, Chinese individuals. And so if you really care about China and you care about the relationship with China, then you must always place the relationship with the Chinese people over the relationship with a small circle of brutalist elites who hang on to power by oppressing and torturing and corrupting the system in which these Chinese people have to live. And that's, I think, the fundamental truth that this WTA case is highlighting, is that this distinction really matters. And that's what we need to care about. You have to talk over the leadership and you have to care about the Chinese people. Anything else is just hypocrisy.
I'm speaking with Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. There's other diplomacy in the wind. And when we come back, Vienna, the Iran plan, the Iran talks, the Iran mysteries. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.